Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, America. Good morning, LA. Good morning, the rest of the world. Tuesday, October 25th, we're back in our original combination with Tori and me.
What up, guys?
Welcome back, Tori.
Thank you.
We missed you.
We missed you. And I missed you.
So we took a few days off, and the thing is, I got an angry email from a listener.
Oh, girl.
That says, actually, this was a male listener. That's not the one that always sends me email, but, you know, I get a lot of emails, you know, from different people. And this one, I'm sure he's listening. I don't want to mention the name, but I want to thank him for being concerned. You know, he says, you guys can't be off the air that long if you want to maintain your listeners, you know.
I completely agree.
Yeah, so I agree with you, but, you know, sometimes I wrote them, sometimes things just happen.
Yes.
Family things and stuff, and you have to take some time off.
I'll call in next time, that way I'll be in.
Well, it's okay, you know, we all deserve a break sometimes. I'm sure he gets his vacations too.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, though, I had to put a show together, so I invited another host from the station, Melissa Hill, and then Matt Polachek, that
yes,
you know,
yeah,
was here as well because he managed to come here early, and it was a surprise, so we just told him, come on in, and we had a great show, so it was fun, but we missed you, of
yes,
course.
Yes, of course. Thank you, everyone listening.
It's not the same when you have a temporary co-pilot, no. You know, it's like you gotta, yeah. So anyway, we're glad to have you
back.
Thank
you very much.
And how does it feel to be back?
Weird. It feels great. No, it wasn't. I was gone for like 4 to 5 days. It wasn't long. But D.C. got very, very cold while I was there. So it was like really fall with the leaves. And I was pumpkin carving with jackets and scarves. Whoa. And mittens. And then I come back here and it's like 80 degrees. And I'm like, oh, man. No, it was great. It was great. It was a great time with the family. We did some really fun things. My family has a new dog, a new puppy. So like the
I
whole
time.
I
did see that. Oh. I had to comment, but I figured there'd be a million comments. And I get notifications.
Yeah,
all
right.
The time.
That's
but,
right.
But it's a really cute dog.
So cute.
What kind is it?
It's a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. And for any woman or man listening, I guess that means anybody or transgender or whatever. it is the kind that Charlotte gets on Sex and the City, Elizabeth Taylor. Ooh. Don't worry, you might not know what I'm talking about, but everyone else does. A lot of people do. It's this great dog, and they come in three different types: a ruby, which is all red; a tricolor, which is black, white, and brown; and then a Blenheim, which is the brown and white. And we've had a ruby, and then a tricolor. Color who just passed, so now it's our time to have a Blenheim. So my family's obsessed with the breed.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, it's weird when families get into one breed, isn't it? You go to someone's house and they have French bulldog statues everywhere.
Right?
You're like, why are you into this one breed? It's just
that's
bizarre,
true,
like
though,
collie
right?
statues everywhere. But they're very sweet. They were meant to be lap dogs. They don't do anything but love on you. So it was great.
Wow. And maybe some people feel their dogs is part of the costume, you know, of the appearance, you know, and you want to have like the certain look.
Absolutely. That it is a very like Renaissance painting dog. It's a Renaissance painting dog.
Yeah.
My mom did take her shopping once and she said she felt like she was in Paris because everyone was cooing over the dog. But I mean, generally she's just there to play and love on you. So it was great.
Cool.
It was great.
Did you grow up with those dogs?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes. Always had a dog.
So they lived a long time.
Oh yeah, and I just feel in a house without a dog is like I'm trying to say something poetic, but all I'm thinking is like a smile without laughter. Like that makes no sense. Whatever, a house with a dog is always better.
Well, that depends on
right,
who you are.
That's true. Or cat or
for
nothing.
Me it's the contrary.
Exactly.
But you know, the funny thing is, I went to see my son in San Francisco.
I saw some pictures.
Yes, it was nice.
Fantastic.
But I'm not changing the topic just yet. But the reason I brought it up was that he had a cat where he lives. He lives with a couple of roommates.
Okay.
So one of them has a cat.
Right.
And so I'm sitting there with my son. He's playing me some guitar and stuff to show me how he's caught up on his licks and everything. And the cat is just walking by and stuff, and suddenly just jumps on me and goes meow and just sits on me.
Oh, it likes you.
And Sean says he never does that with anybody.
Usually cats, and I know this because I was a lonely person and worked at a cat shelter for a long time when I first moved here. Cats are drawn to those that aren't that interested in them.
Really?
The most negative person in the room, usually they are, because they are like, they are prissy people and they don't want a lot of attention. So they like the person not paying them any attention. So you're a pussy lover. Grab them by the pussy.
But that's funny, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I like them. I enjoyed it. Being with the cat, petting it and stuff. I just can't live with animals.
Right. Hey,
that's all, you know.
Totally get it.
Not a big deal. I'm sure you could live with a horse in the house, right?
I could live with absolutely any animal, except for like maybe
inside
a mosquito. Yeah. Fuck those things. I sure do love animals.
Yeah, and, you know, the rest of my family do, too. I mean, you know, my kids, both of them, they have a lot of animals at home.
Oh, yeah.
They grew up with them, and I had to just tolerate it because their mother loves them
so much.
Yeah,
so you're like, I'm out.
I know. But, yeah, you know, so things happen. So you were up there. The whole family was there.
Mm-hmm.
Did some other relatives come in for the
birthday? No, it was a very quiet, but chill affair.
Just immediate family.
Yeah, immediate family and friends. And we had a nice big dinner at this nice restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
We kept it really simple. He didn't want a big shebang-a-bang.
Right.
So we carved some pumpkins, which is what my sister and I used to do with my dad when we were little. So, and we went to the museum, and my mom is a tour guide at the National Gallery of Art. So we got to see a tour. So a lot of cool DC things. We went to the museums. I mean, it was great.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it was
very
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, very interesting. So so DC in the fall, that's what you get to see.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So as for the weather in San Francisco, what strikes me is how often it's overcast there.
Always.
And because they have so much water around.
I think it's called, like, I may be making this up, but like a marine layer.
Marine layer.
Am
right.
I saying that?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're right.
That's a nice name for a band.
Right?
Ladies and gentlemen, marine layer to the stage. They're in a nice foggy. The good thing is you can take better pictures in fog.
Mm.
In an overcast sky gives you the best photographs.
Right.
So it's great for pictures.
Yeah, but they.
No,
it depends.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe when you take headshots and stuff,
yeah, you
right?
always want a cloudy day.
That's what they say,
always.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, when you're out, you want the sun.
Yeah,
so the sun would peek out and everything. But we went everywhere, and it was a lot of fun. And it didn't really matter what we did. It was just we were together.
It's a great vibe, that city.
You know, and I really wanted to see my son. I haven't really seen him in his new element since he moved there.
Ooh, you sound
know?
So 70s in his element, man.
You know? Yeah. So it's really cool, and I didn't mind the drive at all. You know, it took me 6 hours each way, but I had a lot of time to think,
mm-hmm.
which I realized I don't have a lot of time to do usually.
That's great. Did you think or listen to music? What was your...
Did both.
Both, yeah.
And some Howard Stern, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you just make the time pass. You know, you talk on the phone with some people, and the time goes by, you know. So it wasn't bad at all.
That's great.
It's just that there's a way. There's a part on the I-5 when you go to San Francisco where... I think it even has a name or something, but there's like millions of cows. That's all you see, and it smells so bad. So bad that you've never, like, you know,
like,
how when they put the manure on the grass and stuff.
Oh, yeah, and it smells
yeah,
sick,
but
yeah.
that, but like, multiply that by a factor of a million.
That's some real bullshit.
That's really bullshit. Hey-o, boing.
Boing. We don't have sound effects, but boom. That's funny. That's really funny.
I know. So it's funny because when people ask me which way did you go, and I said the I-5, and they're like, "Oh, so you went by the cow shed."
By the cow shed. There
yeah,
you go.
So I'm like, "Yeah."
The famous.
And
locator.
You don't know what to do because the smell is inside the car and outside.
It's
the car.
It's on you. It's like when you're at a bar and you smell like the cowboy next to you. I don't know what cowboy bar I'm going to. But
yeah, I know.
God, I love cowboy bars. Always have.
Well. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about his book. Been on the show before. And he's got a new book on the mob.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody likes that, right?
The mafioso. Everyone does.
Yeah, because it captures people's imagination.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
High stakes, lots of crime, lots of good fashion, or questionable fashion, but fashion nonetheless.
Right.
Yeah.
And they go into all these... it's funny here, because he was writing here how... the mafia always gets into things that prey on our vices and weaknesses and stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know? to exploit that, like porn and gambling and, you know, and things like
it's
that.
It's an exaggerated version of your vices.
Yeah,
your worst
exactly.
self, yeah.
Yeah.
In dapper clothing.
Yeah. I know. So, let's see. So, did I have any stories? No, I didn't really have any interesting stories. It was just really like intimate father-son time.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, you know, we bonded. We really did. I get to see where he goes to school and everything, so it was nice.
Nice.
Now I know how to picture everything when I talk to him.
Yeah, and I think it's nice that you made the effort to go up there. He must have really appreciated that.
He did. Totally. But it was long overdue, you know, and I always like, it seemed like too long a drive for me. I didn't want to make the drive. And
sometimes 99% of life is showing up.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And when you think about it, you know, I mean, hotels in San Francisco during the season are so expensive.
Oh, my God. It's like $1 million.
Yeah. So you go for two nights. It's like it costs you $800 to go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to
it is a really pricey town.
Right.
You can't do it on the budget.
Right.
It's not easy to do San Fran on the budget.
No. It's an expensive place.
Yeah.
It really is.
D.C.'s turning into that. The real estate now is for a cool apartment in like Bethesda or Chevy Chase, which is a great area, $2 million. Like
really?
It's just like San Francisco. The real estate has gone out of control. And the traffic, because all of a sudden D.C. became like a hip spot to go to as a millennial.
Uh-huh.
And you have to say it like that, millennial. And now it's crowded and expensive.
Wow.
Yeah, it used to be kind of a, like, you know.
Yeah.
Now it's this like spot. Real estate's gone.
Yeah, I guess all these places that attract people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just over the roof.
Yeah, like the Silicon Valley people have driven up
huge amount,
real estate there too as well. So, yeah, go figure, you know, but
I'm moving to Nebraska.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But now that I've broken my virginity as far as doing the 6-hour drive, 7-hour drive.
You could do it again.
I can do it again.
Yeah. Once you do it, it's like you're dipping your toes in the pool. Now you're in. I'm
exactly,
in.
Exactly. Exactly. And but to those of you who think, what a terrible dad that he doesn't go see his son until he can afford it.
Shame on you for judging.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. No, the thing is that we always have him come down here. So it's a lot more affordable and he comes and sees everybody.
Right.
So we do see him a lot. You
but
know?
It's nice to always be the kid that, like, my whole family's East Coast, the whole family. And so it's always nice when they make that effort to schlep all the way, because we always schlep over there.
Right.
And it's so nice to have them schlep over here for a little
bit.
True, you know what
right?
I mean? It just means a lot. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's just that it's more people having to do the schlepping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My dad once got a beautiful hotel room at the London, at Gordon Ramsay's, the London Inn, and he asked for a sunset view of the suite. And we arrived and we're facing the road, and he calls, like, what, you know, I really wanted a specific nice sunset view. And they say, it is, it's Sunset Boulevard. He was like, damn it, I didn't realize. So we had a crappy view, but it's fine.
Wow. Yeah, so there's a lot of places to go. We went to nature and stuff, to hiking. And the funny thing is we go and take a walk on the beach or like along the not right on the sand, but before that, like along the parking lot and stuff. Across the street there's a nice restaurant. And he turns on his phone and was like, oh, there's a Pokemon Go across the street.
Oh, Lord.
I'm like, oh, my God.
The Pokemon is
back. I can't believe you. You're 23 years old, man. Okay, so we crossed the highway to get to the parking lot.
And what did he do? What happens? I've never seen
someone
with this.
Okay, well, it's just like you aim your phone. You kind of look for your phone. No, well, no, you look around to find it
first. I see.
And it comes up on your phone.
I see.
And so you can make it so it's augmented reality, whereas you actually see what the camera sees.
Oh, wow.
And the Pokemon is superimposed on it. Or there's just sort of like a graphic world, you know, like a computer world.
Yeah.
And so it looks like the outline of the parking lot and everything. And there's that Pokemon there on the phone. And then you just have to start like spinning your finger around it.
You
on
look
the
like
screen.
A. That's crazy.
Right? That's what he did.
That's insane.
Yeah,
no, my friend does it. She's like 34. She's all into it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like you're throwing a ball at it, and the ball is supposed to, that's how you capture the Pokemon.
Okay.
But with this ball that you throw
in. Who thought this would be a huge
Those Japanese.
Hit?
And
knew?
You know what? And the funny thing is, my son tells me, he says, you can't believe how many new characters. Because I asked him, I said, is it only the characters when you guys grew up?
Right,
they grew up
right.
in the early 90s. And He said, no, he said they've made so many new ones, you wouldn't even believe it, you know. So it's caught on for a long time. I mean, you're talking almost 30 years now.
Pokemon.
All right, well, here's our guest calling in right now. So we're going to get to Kenji. Kenji, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Good. How are you?
Good. So Tori and me are sitting here. We only introduced you as a writer that wrote a book about the mafia. And so we'll find out, obviously, a little more about you and the book. Where are you calling us from this morning?
Right now, I live in Illinois. I live in a small community in Illinois, a farm. Actually, I have living on a farm.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
Like
man.
Cows? I'm picturing. Give me something to picture. Am I ducks?
Well,
like
I don't have cows. We have chickens.
Okay.
I got 12 to 15 chickens. We have bees. We have two dogs. We have ducks.
Wow.
We have, we have corn and beans.
Did you say beans or bees?
Bees.
With like,
beans.
Oh, like honey.
So we have bees too, but I also have bees. We have two hives of bees here.
Wow.
Interesting, huh?
My aunt is a beekeeper, so that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an apprentice beekeeper.
Oh, do you wear the hat thing?
Yes.
Okay.
You better.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, is this the same place where you grew up, where you were raised, or did you get a new place?
No. I moved. I grew up in Orange County, California, in Newport Beach and Irvine. And I lived for a long time in Los Angeles. And I worked in Hollywood and worked off Sunset, and I just decided that was over it and needed to change, and I decided to try it out here.
Nice.
Wow. But how do you end up in that place?
Yeah, did you throw a dart at a map? So interested.
The whole place.
Oh, no. My wife is from here originally. She grew up here, and nice. So I came back because she wanted to go back to school, and it was just a great place, so
wow.
We came back.
Sounds good. Do you guys have any kids?
No, none.
Oh. They have bees.
They
don't
bees,
need kids.
And dogs and everything.
Exactly. Two dogs.
There you go.
Awesome. So now we know a little bit about you and where you are and where you're calling from. And so you go by Kenji. Your name is Kenny Kenji Gallo, right?
Yes, I go by Kenji.
Kenji. Sounds good. Is that a nickname you received when you were young?
Yes. Yeah, I'm very young, so I've had it ever since.
It's a cool name. You sound cool. Like, immediately, if I'm going to go meet a Kenji, like, that's already cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you remember it.
Yeah, it's not like, hey, Gary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, having lived in California, Southern California, I can understand how, because I'm reading your blog. If you guys want to check out Kenji's blog, it's at kenjigallo.com, KenjiGallo.com, and it's called Breakfast Shot Blog. Mm. What does Breakfast Shot? No, Break Shot Blog. I'm looking through my mic screen, and I'm going, breakfast? No. Let's try again. Break Shot, A Life in the 21st Century American Mafia. Mm. So I'm reading your blog, though, and you're talking about, like, San Fernando Valley and all this, so you're obviously familiar with what's going on here. Let me ask you, in general, the mafia at its golden age, let's say, when they were really big, was the East Coast, was there more action on the East or West Coast, would you say?
It's always been on the East Coast because they had more immigrants there. Mm. California, Los Angeles in particular, was always a smaller family. It had a couple hundred, and during the 70s, it had about 70 to 100 people made guys in there. And they did a lot in Hollywood. A lot of the East Coast guys would come out to Hollywood, but it was primarily East Coast. There was 27 families in the United States, and L.A. was one of them. They're all equal.
Really? Wow. That's a lot, though. A lot of families, huh? Now, are these, like, all Italian?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, is there any other immigrants in Italian? Great question.
I mean, because there was, like, Chinese mafia and Japanese mafia and Jewish mafia even, right?
Well, there are different crime groups. Like the Japanese have the Yakuza, the Chinese have the triads.
Right.
They do their own thing. The Jewish guys are always with the Italians.
Oh.
they're usually the brains. They're not actually part of the family. They're just part of the group.
Like the accountants, right? I mean, I'm a Jew. I can say that, right? Like the banker.
That's basically what they're doing. And then you have Russians, and Russians have the Russian Boars. They're their own gang. That's pretty much it. But the Chinese and Japanese are like, the Chinese are thousands of years old. The Japanese are probably about 1,000 years old. And then the Italian mafia is, a couple hundred years old. But they're the only ones that, in America, the Italian mafia is the only one that, like, assimilated and continues to be a force to be reckoned with after all these years.
So it's still there. Like, it's still happening.
Oh yeah, it's still happening.
Oh, wow.
Still happening.
Wow.
I just wrote a piece on there a couple weeks ago about Clinton's and the mob. So that's it. Yeah, it's true.
Wow,
it's
I need to read that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Tori doesn't want to read that one.
No, I trust me. I think the Clintons are involved in some major founding. Communities in this. I mean, they have hands everywhere,
they do,
and
though,
I can imagine the mafia. Not that I'm saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying I can see that happening. It's not a surprise. You know what I mean?
If you read it, there's no doubt. I mean,
congressional
testimony is 100%. I mean, there's no doubt.
Oh, wow. Now, so let me ask you this. I mean, this begs the question with JFK and stuff. I mean, is it like at this point, is it not even a secret or a debatable thing? I mean, that he definitely had ties to the mafia at the time?
Who?
JFK.
Oh, no, he did through his dad. I mean, it's 100%. I mean, his dad was a bootlegger. He was he did all the insider training on Wall Street and then changed it so no one else can do it because he already made his money. He had them deliver up Cook County. 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Joe is heavily involved. I mean, it's interesting how politics and mafia have always kind of gone together hand in hand.
Yeah, because it's power.
Yeah, Oh, yeah. And it's like it's you talk control. About the families. Well, the Clinton, that's a family. You know what I mean? The Bush, that's a, that's a family, American family.
That's true, though. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, Kenji, I'm wondering, how did you get into all this? I mean, how do you know about all that?
No, what happened is everyone else grows up. I grew up, I had a goal, and my goal was to be a gangster, and that's what I started at, like, age 13, and I started working with, I got a job at a restaurant, and I started looking around me. I saw what was going on. It was during the 80s. It was the cocaine era. It was in Newport Beach. The guys were some of the biggest smugglers in Southern California of cocaine. They were with the Medellin cartel, Pablo Escobar and those guys, and I just started hanging around and being part of it. And then as I continued to do that and I got a little older, I started looking around and seeing these guys that were treated differently, Italians, and I figured out, I mean, no one ever really says, it's a mob guy, because they don't mention that word, but they always say, and then I ended up meeting a couple of them. I started working with them. I ended up in the porn business in San Fernando Valley. I was in all around LA. I started being with a couple of the guys, and then just blossomed from there. I ended up finally in Brooklyn, New York, working with the Colombo family. The FBI met with me in 1996, and I just already had enough. I was pretty burnt out. I already been in trouble so many times that I agreed to work with them. They promised me, they said it would probably be 6 months to a year. It ended up being 8 years. And I, was living in Brooklyn three weeks a month. And after 8 years, that was it. It was finally over. I stayed in the FBI safe house for almost 2 years. And then I went to Spain for 18 months and wrote my book and started writing a blog. I got really popular with my blog, got really big. And then I came back here and changed my life.
What?
No, that's a story. That's a story.
I thought you were like, I took a class.
Yeah,
really,
or like, I'm a reporter.
Yes, I didn't
reporter.
Think you'd be in the mafia.
Right.
Wow.
Well, there you go, Kenji. You see, you surprised us.
Wow.
And now we know how you know all this stuff.
Damn, Gina, that's incredible. Is it adrenaline rush? I imagine. Is it the same as like those guys and women that like to jump off and bungee jump? You need the adrenaline and the power. Is that what's enticing about it? Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. It was it was just a rush. I feel like I love that life. Love to just do it, see how far I can push and see where I can go and see what I can do. And,
wow.
You know, and I just, and because I'm like half Japanese, clearly I don't belong.
Right. But there was something kind of cool about that. It was cool. So you stood out.
And I would like to just, you know, be part of it. And then I would be in Brooklyn and I would be with guys that are like, yeah, I mean, exactly what you'd picture, you know, sometimes wearing the sweatsuits and the gold.
Yeah.
And one time we were staying out in front of this restaurant in Brooklyn. And it was a Chinese restaurant called Le Yun, but it's real big among all different mob crews, different families. And I was standing out there with a street boss and my friend Teddy Persico and another guy named Eddie Garofolo. And in fact, his wife's on Mob Wives now. We're standing out in front, and the lady pulls up in a new Mercedes, and she throws her keys at me and says, park the car. And then she runs in the restaurant. And Teddy looks at me, what was that about? And then he goes, starts laughing. He goes, she thinks you're a valet parker. There's no valet there. She threw me the keys. So Teddy goes, oh, yeah, we're going to show her. So he called his brother over, who was over there, and he gave him the keys. And he goes, yeah, just chop this car up. Get rid of it. And drove it away, and I don't know whatever happened, but I always thought that was funny because she had a poke out of her mind. I look Asian, it's Asian restaurant. Valet Parker.
Yeah, you're the valet. Wow, that's incredible. I guess you could do that undercover kind of shit though, but that's so weird. So that's insane that you were in the mafia, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, pretty.
I was with them for over 20 years. The LA family and the Colombo family.
Yeah, you see, I mean, what boggles my mind is that it was something you aspired for at an early age. You know, how many kids grow up and they say, I want to be a gangster when I grow up?
Who does that? Yeah. I grew up and I was like, I want to be, what did I want to be? Oh, on commercials to sell shampoo. That was the dumbest thing ever. I'm still trying to do that to this day.
Really?
But it's interesting. Was there a story or was there a movie that got you inspired by this?
No, actually, I don't know. I always read like, you know, 3 to 5 books a week, and I just was like, maybe I got a hold of a book, and I just decided. But even if I go back, I went to University High School in Irvine, and in my yearbook, I mean, well, in the senior class picture, I'm holding a huge wad of cash that I just put. But in the yearbook, Mafia, God's cocaine, God bless Yayo. They didn't know what cocaine was. And then, that was my dream. I went to school with guys like Will Ferrell and guys from Raging Against the Machine.
Yeah. Very
Ray,
interesting.
Those guys did this, you know?
Yeah. The connection is breaking up. It's hard to understand. But,
okay.
But no, at any rate, I don't know if you're moving or something, but wherever you were before, because I know when I talk on my phone, I walk around all the time, you know.
I'm actually sitting at my desk. So awesome. My head.
Okay, now we hear you a lot better. So,
okay.
So you got involved in the porn part of the mafia in L.A. Were you like one of the big guys?
Whoa, what does that mean? Big guys in porn.
That's not what I mean. I mean the guys behind it. I don't think he was.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, he was like behind the production and the money, right? Or did you do
it? Yeah. I mean, we produced it. I was back when they came from film to videotape. So we would anything we take, I would distribute that. And I worked for like Arrow, who made Deep Throat. I worked for all those guys. And
nice.
I was part of the distribution, part of the filming. I would take cash that I got from Colombians and make movies. You know, $30,000-$60,000 in cash, pay everyone in cash, sell the movie, get back the check.
Wow.
Very good at that. And that's what I did for a long time.
Do you have any nickname? Like, do they give you Eddie Fatso McGee? Like, do we get some kind of Domino Kenji? Or, like, was there anything?
No, Kenji was actually my nickname. It used to be when I was younger, it was called, everyone called me Kenji Snaps. Because I had like a really bad temper, I could go from like 0 to 1,000 in like 1 second. I got snapped, so that just became. And then they shortened it later just to Kenji.
I like it.
Oh well,
God, so
I'd hate to be on the receiving end of your
Kenji
anger.
Snapped. He's got the Colombo family behind him. That's terrifying.
Well, no, I used to. I mean, like I'm a MMA fighter. I'm Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'm a kickboxer and boxer.
Wow.
And. So, yeah, I mean, I'm very, very confident at that. That's what That's why when I was living in Hollywood up until 2 years ago, I would teach actors and actresses, get them in shape, and teach them how to fight for TV shows and movies. Yeah.
So what's it like now being on the farm? Do you feel like Ray Liotta in Goodfellas at the end where he's like, hello?
Yeah.
Actually, no. I spend my time. I work. I train people still. I train soccer moms. And
awesome.
I work with Parkinson's patients for rock steady boxing. It's a method. So I train them, and so older people keep their balance. Because I get nice to train in Hollywood. I was an assistant to Justin Fortune, who trained Manny Pacquiao, so I did all the balance exercises and the footwork, and now I just trained it. I've changed it to, like, working with Parkinson's patients and older people.
Wow, how cool.
Now,
let me ask you this, Kenji. Is there a way that you share all that knowledge, like, for people? Because my dad has Parkinson. I'd love to see what you do. You know, do you have anything online for that?
I mean, if you know what you should do is have them look up Rock Steady Boxing. And I'm telling you this, I work with people, and in 2 months, it's 1,000% difference.
Wow.
They have better balance. They stop dragging their feet, looking down. They can use their hands. In boxing, you have to use coordination for both. So basically, when you have Parkinson's, you have to reteach them.
Wow.
It helps with shaking. Look it up, because there's probably a Rock Steady. There is a couple in California.
Rock Steady Boxing, that's what it's called?
Rock Steady Boxing.
That's so cool.
And that's for Parkinson's.
Wow, that's so smart.
With me, I share it all. Like, I have another blogger, like a more of a Christian blog that I write. It's called BetterLivedLives.com. Mm. And that's where I put on about Rock City Boxing and my new life and everything I do. So.
Wow. Well, you definitely do a lot of things, man.
Jesus,
I mean, you've done a lot in your life.
Blog.
Yeah, you know.
I can't stand this guy.
It's
amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and a boxer, right? Kickboxer, did you say you are?
Yeah, kickboxer and Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. I fought MMA. So in LA, I used to work with all the guys, UFC guys and professional people, and then, like I said, actors. And then when I moved out here, clearly there's not going to be, but I wanted to do something different. And I saw the program, actually a 60 Minutes thing. Someone sent it to me about Rock City Boxing. So I went to them and I got certified. I already know how to train people, but I learned how to work with Parkinson's patients, and I've been doing that. So I really like it.
This is someone we could drop you off on Pluto and you'd find something to do. I mean, you're that kind of a guy, though, that just, like, sees something, wants it, goes after it, gets it, moves on. You know what I mean?
That's so incredible.
Just give
something in your mind and you go do it.
Yes. I mean, but that's like me. I'm like, so my husband's leaving for a couple days to take care of his family. I'm like, I'm not going to use the coffee machine. Like, I have to get some balls. Kenji has to come to my house.
I know. All Kenji needs is like one gun to protect himself, and that's it. Throw him anywhere.
Good for him.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, Kenji. We only have a couple minutes left. What's break shot? What does that mean?
Break shot is the code name the FBI gave me. They called me break shot. It's the opening shot of a pool game. And they have a little computer. They have probably a big computer in the FBI office, and they put in code names, and they start their operations. So, you know, you'll hear there'll be different operations, like Operation Donnie Brasco. That was the one they made the movie out.
Yes.
Mine was Break Shot. That was my code name, because only people that know your name are the actual, your handler is Casey. Just two people, and then the head guy.
An FBI code name? What?
Yeah. It's called Break Shot.
And it's a cool name. It's not like Flamingo. It's like the pool cue.
I knew I had like Mr. Woodworth or something.
That's so lame.
Yeah. I'm so glad I didn't get that one. I couldn't make the book about that.
No, mine would be like Mrs. Puffin. Like, mine would be such a lame one.
Well, so Kenji, the book is Break Shot, A Life in the 21st Century, American Mafia.
Wow.
Tell people how they can find you again, Kenji.
Okay, I'm on Facebook under Kenji Gallo. My personal website is KenjiGallo.com, and then I'm at BetterLivedLives.com for my other stuff, and, you know, self-help and Christian and Rock City Boxing and Parkinson's and that kind of thing. It's all on that.
Fantastic.
So that's where I am.
Looks great. And you guys definitely should go on the blog here and check him out. There's links to Facebook and everything. And it's funny because we were talking.
Yeah,
if you want to see the Break Shot blog, it's on there.
Nice.
Yeah.
The Clintons.
It was just interesting here because it says, or we were just saying that, I mean, I'm just saying that there's a post on there about the mafia and porn and how the majority of it is still made in the U.S. in the San Fernando Valley, which is exactly where we are. We're the porn capital of the world right here.
Turn the red light on. Yes. Let's get Kenji break shots.
In fact, we're looking at it through our window.
No, we're not. We're looking at a bank.
No, but it's the valley.
It sure is. No, Chatsworth and San Fernando Valley is the hot spot.
Yes.
Literally. Yeah.
Absolutely. So you were one of the founders of all this.
Not really the founders. I was like the second generation.
Second generation. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. The video guys.
The video, the VHS, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like when they started, like, Boogie Nights is exactly the time period. It's actually, I mean, I was there when they actually shot that, but in that time period that they portrayed.
That's the coolest part of porn, is the Boogie Nights era.
Right.
That's the coolest part.
All right, if she says so, she knows.
Dirk Diggler. That's right. That's a cool rad name, man.
Yeah, right? Kenji Gallo, thank you so much for calling, man. You're a very interesting person.
Seriously.
Everybody go out and get the book. You can get it right through the website. Again, Break Shot, and you can probably get it. Is this like available at other places too, like Amazon and stuff too?
It's on Amazon. It's on Kindle. It's available. It's in bookstores. It's everywhere. There's like three versions. There's a hardback. There's a pocketbook from Simon Schuster. Then there's a new third edition with added stuff in it, too. That's available on Amazon, too.
Wow, nice. That's a big deal. Well, awesome. Thanks a lot. And call us back when... I mean, we could talk about this for hours, you know, so...
Yep.
We'll set up another conversation.
Seriously, he'll be in another location. He'll be in Alaska. I can't hear you. The glacier's falling.
I know. I'm actually, I'm raising seals up here.
That's it.
All right, Kenji. Thanks.
All right.
And all the best to you. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Cool.
Yeah, see, that's cool. And sometimes, you know, before the interview, you don't know, we didn't have much to go on. Last minute I asked Kenji to get us some notes on what will like the name of the book and stuff, and it turns out to be great. You know, you keep going and you go and you go and you realize that you have the best guest ever, you know.
I mean, couldn't be cooler.
Yeah,
what's Break Shot? I thought it was gonna be like the thing you say before you start, I don't know, writing. And he's like, it's my FBI code name.
Yeah.
which
is the first shot in pool.
Yeah,
you know? Wow,
so cool.
That's right. That's what Break Shot is, when you think about it. It breaks the... Yeah. Wow. Amazing people.
Yeah.
We always get interesting people on here.
I'm so boring.
Yeah.
Makes me realize how existentially boring
I know.
I was
thinking about that, too. I'm thinking, God, I don't do anything.
Seriously. We went home for our dad's birthday. And he's like, I laid on the ground during...
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, I shot the first bullet. Like, so good for him. Everyone has different things. He obviously is someone that has an adrenaline craving. And they do find this year, scientists have discovered a genetic... or a gene, basically, for adrenaline. And some people have it, and some people don't. And if you have it, you have to find ways to satisfy that. So it's the bungee jumpers in us, or the parkours.
Right.
Or this guy. You know, it's like those people that need the rush to enjoy and live life to the fullest. I'm good with a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
And the New York
Times. Forget about the skydiving thing.
I'm totally
you know?
Fine with just sitting and watching the Westworld or something.
I mean, the extent I'll go is go camping or something.
For you,
know?
That was big. No, for real.
Because for me, it's... Yeah, I mean... Usually for me, it's a 5-star trip.
Yeah,
you know?
No, of course. Glamping, we call it.
Yeah.
Glam camping.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, I know. So, the elections are exactly two weeks away.
Yes.
And I'm sure a lot has developed over the 4 days you were gone, 5 days. Right? I mean, what stood out for you? And what's going on these
basically
days?
Basically just the reality versus like Trump's reality, because not much has like come out as opposed to what he keeps saying is like the polls say that he keeps saying he won and the polls say this. And even Kellyanne Conway, his political campaign director, was like, no, we're not winning. So
really? She said
that? Oh, yeah. She's like, we're behind because at some point you have to know what's real and what's not. Exactly. And he's just like, no, we're ahead. And she's like, no, we're behind.
Yeah.
So it's, I think what struck me most is the glaring reality check that he doesn't sort of live in the same reality as we do.
It's going to hit him in the face.
It's
going to
hit him in the face. And then of course it'll be rigged. The big thing in the debate was, I ran in to see my dad, hugged him, and then turned the debate on, cause it was on Wednesday that I left.
Oh.
And, the big gasps moments were obviously when he said, I'll keep you in suspense of whether or not I accept the election, which was crazy. And then even Chris Wallace was like, sir, do you sure you want to say that out loud? And the other was when he went, such a nasty woman. And my mom and I went, whoa, dudes. And now it's become like a good political cry for women, and the nasty women will vote. Nasty women have nasty votes. Like, it's all become a feminist cry. So,
but let
me
ask you this, though. Okay, if she said, he's a nasty man.
Yeah, that's still bad.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would say, anybody would consider it sexist. That's what I'm saying. It's a bad thing to say.
I don't think it was necessarily sexist. I think it was just like a really rude insult.
So what if he said nasty person?
To me, it wasn't a woman or man thing. If she had gone into the mic and gone, he's such a nasty man, that would still be like really insulting.
Right.
And I'd be like, wow, that cut over a line. So it wasn't the woman man thing. It was that they were in the middle of having an actual policy debate and he just leans in and says, such a nasty one.
Right,
it was just insulting. But I think usually in a debate you don't go there. That's
no,
the
no,
thing.
No. That absolutely. I mean, that I agree with. Yeah. Just I thought it was the sexism part.
No, I don't think so. I think women just it became a rallying cry for women, but it wasn't sexist to me. It was just basically kind of a rude insult.
Yeah, it was.
It was just rude. Yeah.
I mean, he's got no filter.
No, and I don't know if. What I like to watch at the end is when Ivanka Trump comes up and congratulates him at the end, right? We're all watching Melania, and we're like, what are they wearing? What are they doing? And Ivanka just has this look in her eye like, I know, he's super crazy.
Yeah,
like,
right?
I know.
They all do.
Oh, God. So, I don't know. And then there's a famous thing. I think it's Eric Trump was at an In-N-Out, and a lot of people stopped to take pictures with him. This is the blonde son who looks dumber than the others.
Yes.
You know exactly which one I'm talking about. And in his hand is an In-N-Out to go, a water cup, but he's filled it with lemonade. So he stole, it was like a free cup, and the people that, when you get,
oh, the
like,
free cups,
yeah,
that
but
you
his
get the
is
water
filled
for
with
it.
Lemonade. Yeah. So it's now going viral. It's like, this asshole has to still get, like, steal lemonade from In-N-Out. What a dick. Like, even that, you can't even do right. So, I think Obama just did some mean tweets, he said something like, one of the mean tweets was like, Trump was tweeting, I won't go down as Obama because I won't go down as the worst president as ever. And Obama looked at camera and goes, at least I'll go down as a president. And it was like, damn.
Wow.
So, I think they're coming after him because he knows he's losing.
Yeah.
This is when you ground in and get the Senate. I mean, I think Elizabeth Warren and Obama want the Senate now. I think they're trying to go all in because he crazed himself out too much. It's too weird.
Yeah. You know, I'm like thinking of it as a, like, what if this was like a physical battle? Like, what would happen is you'd have on one side, like, I'm envisioning this, like, two armies. One side, there's just the white males. And the rest, the other side, is everybody else.
And we're so
you know, and it's like, how are you going to win? You know,
no,
you're
that's
not
such a good
win.
Point. And what's interesting is it's white, sort of not always, but mostly his base is white, uneducated, non-college graduates in sort of the West Virginia Appalachian coal mining, like the blue collar.
Right.
And what's funny is Trump would never associate with those people.
That's true. How did he become their hero?
So it was very interesting. SNL did a great sketch when they did Black Jeopardy. Did you see Black Jeopardy?
No, I saw stills of it.
It was one of the best SNL sketches, I think, in like a decade, because it was two black people doing like stuff about very stereotypical black things, and then a Trump supporter, and Tom Hanks played the Trump
stumped,
and they were the same. They had the same opinions. And it really was very funny. And they're like, Doug, right on. So it was a great sketch to see. I thought it was a really well done sketch. But I think a lot of people are fed up. I just don't think what he needs now are women, suburban Philadelphia women. In order to make a win, which is incredibly hard, he needs Philadelphia suburban soccer moms.
Right.
And when you look in a mic and say you're a nasty woman, it doesn't help
get
the
help,
soccer
right?
mom. Because they don't want their kids talking like that,
That's
speaking like
true.
That.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
So he needed women, and I don't think he did it.
No, no. Like I said, it's the white people against everybody else.
White man.
Not white people in general
right.
at all.
It's a white male.
Yeah, like a group of people mm-hmm. That are like, yeah, I mean, but you know what? At the same time, though, I do have to take issue with the fact that it is a generalization, you
yes,
know,
because true.
Because look, the thing is, there's one thing to be a Trump supporter. There's another thing to be a Republican.
Totally.
Now, what do? You know, because there's still the debate in my head. Okay, I admit that I'm not decided yet. Okay, because although I'm not going to say so at this point, it doesn't really matter because I'm not going to say who I'm voting for anyway.
Right.
I realize it's not something I want to share.
Sure.
On the air. But
I think you're more undecided. I think you're decided that you don't like the way Trump speaks and behaves himself.
Let's put it this way.
Right.
I don't like the character.
Right.
But the policies speak more to me than Hillary's.
I feel you. And I think okay. I feel that's all Republicans.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
I mean, I honestly feel bad for them. Paul Ryan hasn't given you any leadership on where to go here.
Right.
He just said work on the Senate. Like
yeah, nobody
you have nowhere
did.
To go.
No, nowhere to go, you know. So we're the orphans.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that turns out. But I don't know. I don't know how I'm gonna do it. But it's like, how do I vote for Hillary? How do you vote for the other side?
Right,
you know?
Right. No, I can. I do. I have empathy for you.
Yeah.
I think, but in the end, I think Republicans and the Tea Party and the alternate right has created Trump.
Yeah.
So there's part of the blame is the Republican Party because they created this monster.
Absolutely.
And they elected this monster.
Yes,
primaries,
I mean,
you know?
He's gotten this far.
Yeah,
that's
come on.
What I'm
this
saying.
Isn't out of a chance lightning strike.
No.
He beat 17
people.
Other people that were really somewhat much more qualified, to
yes.
be honest.
Yes.
I'm not saying they were good, but they were, you know, you
I
could have a debate with Rubio.
Better than
yeah,
he was.
Exactly. Carly Fiorina scared the shit out of me, but I think I think the election came down to a pop culture moment. And I think it
yeah.
probably was the height of the pop culture moment for hopefully the political party. Cause it doesn't bode well when you're not
yeah.
a politician, you know?
Absolutely. So, I have to agree. I have to agree.
So everyone go out and vote and do your thing, but
yeah, exactly. And you don't have to tell anybody.
No.
Go in and because there's a lot of criticism and it's never been this bad
no.
in social media because social media is like as intense as it ever was.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it amplifies what everybody
especially
feels.
When one of the candidates is on social media.
Right.
Bash. I mean, that's what's crazy. Even Glenn Beck was like, who goes on Twitter at 3 a.m.? He was like, he's a sociopath. When Glenn
yeah.
Beck is saying you're a sociopath, something's really wrong.
No, absolutely. But Glenn Beck... definitely, I like his opinions because
yeah.
he says it like it is. That's what I've seen.
And he
about
said,
him,
and even yesterday, Rush Limbaugh was like, "Hey, I have to not be crazy. The polls say he's losing. I'm not going to say he's winning."
Yeah.
So when Rush Limbaugh's like, "Hey, dude, get back to reality. Maybe you should." I mean, that's bad. That's bad. That's not good.
Yes.
So
I know for those of you who doubt Rush Limbaugh, though, his influence. I mean, like, he's totally not in my life. I never listened to him or anything. I don't even know what his show is like. But he's still the number one radio host by far in this country.
Yeah, I mean, his influence
is
crazy. And for Rush
really
Limbaugh
is.
To say, I'm not stupid. The polls say you're losing. Like, he stood up and was like, no, you're not winning last
exactly.
night. So, yeah, at some point, everyone turns away. Everybody, you're all alone at that finish line.
That's true. Wow. So. And that's a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
That might be half the country.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. So we'll see. There's still 40 million people of a strong base. I still think he's going to try and do Trump media, Trump TV, Trump radio. I think he'll turn it into a media empire.
You think so?
You
mean when he loses?
I think this was the whole plan.
Yeah.
I really do. Mm. Or it came as a plan when he realized he was winning and he's like, yeah. Well, what the hell? I can't run president. I think he, I mean, even his son-in-law, Kushner, is trying to create some kind of, there's been talks about a media buyout. So it seems like he's going to turn the alt-right into his base and have a media empire. And that's what he does. He makes empires.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm thinking of one thing before we go.
Yeah.
And that is, think for a moment, what if in 2 weeks we're going to look back at this show and go, we were very, very... We jumped the gun. In other words, he wins. Okay, let me tell you why I think he could win. Because in the polls, I think a lot of people are embarrassed or afraid to say they support Trump. And I think it would happen in a poll as well. And what I'm thinking is, and that's why they call them the silent
majority.
I don't know if the silent majority, is that what they call them now? Because they've called them that before. I don't know if it's a majority, but let's say there's probably a pretty nice chunk of the population who are silent. And they may just come out and vote for Trump. So
I
you
hear
don't
that.
Know, you know, because I got to tell you something, Tori. As a Republican, as a conservative, it's like getting beaten on the head all the time on social media with all the things that the liberals bring up that are correct about Trump.
True. And
you know, it's like beating me on the head. And I'm like, my God, guys, leave me alone. I know. He's saying stupid things.
The only thing I'll tell you is this. Silent majority or not, liberal or not, conservative or not, you cannot win the presidency without women. You cannot do it.
Obviously, it's half the population.
It's more than half. It's 51%. And he cannot win without women. And he's not going to get the women vote.
That's true.
So that's the end of it. I'm convinced she'll get like close to, a 9 to 10 point lead, I'm hoping, because that'll show that it's a real win.
That's assuming that he would win... that all the women are going to vote for Hillary.
No, I'm not saying they'll vote for Hillary.
He's got a lot of female supporters, too.
He doesn't have a lot. No. He has female supporters. He does not have a lot of female supporters.
Okay.
And he's lost a lot during those three debates. Mm. So the one thing that those debates have done, which is not really... I mean, they've helped Hillary because she's not a crazy person. But what they've done is separate the women vote away from him. He's lost a tremendous amount of women vote for the weird stalking on debate two. I mean, he's done some creepy-ass things in those debates to women. If you don't win women, you can't win. And it's not that she's a woman and can win. It's just that... she's not, I mean, he's so misogynistic, and the tapes came out, and they lost a lot of women.
That's true.
And moms, and moms.
So what you're saying is mathematically it's
just
impossible for him to win.
Yes.
And you know what? I may have to concede and agree.
I mean, I'm thinking Texas might go to Clinton. I don't think it will, but they're saying they're tied in Texas. That's not a good thing for a Republican.
Well,
usually it's a hot red state. You know?
And now Colorado, too. So,
Arizona, Florida, yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but
when you Utah turns against when Utah yeah, right. Mormons are like no, then something's wrong. But yeah.
All right. Well, this is it for today, folks. Tori, thank you so much
Anytime.
For coming
so
back.
So good to be back, guys.
Yeah, the show is not the same without you, of course. Thank you, Kenji, for calling in. Everybody, check out Break Shot. And that's it for today, folks. We have studio guests, I think, the rest of the week.
Mm.
So that'll be cool. Always interesting people. So thanks all for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Ciao.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.